Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together by setting the intention with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
You for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday as we consciously come into communion with the ground of our being, the absolute mystery, the divine beloved Mother, Father, God. I keep re-emphasizing that we are consciously communing because we are never ever separate from God. There's nowhere where God is not. But too often we are tuned out, busy, outer-directed, in the world of form, that we forget our inner world, our inner connection, our inner realization of the divine right where we are. We get caught up in the moment, whatever's happening to us, for us, with us, that we forget that right where we are, the Spirit, the Creator, the source of all that is present. And so as I emphasize, and I speak this not only for you on the other end of the line, but for myself also, I always consider that whenever I'm preparing a Sunday soul or anything else to do with the divine, I'm preparing it for myself. It's a message that I need for myself. And after Sunday Soul, when I am preparing to post this to the website and Instagram and everything else that I do, and I'm listening to the message because I'm never conscious of what's coming through me at the time, I'm like, aha, thank you, God, thank you. Yes, I needed this reminder. And so as we continue with our series of the 12 things God cannot do, today is number 5. God's word cannot be broken. And there are subtle nuances and subtle differences between each of these 12 things. And as I thought, contemplated, reflected on this particular series, in this particular one, I want to start off with the sacred text so that we can set the stage, as it were. And there's two or three sacred texts that I want us to delve into. So the first one is from John 10, 34, 35. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I have said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside. The second quote is from John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I want to break this down a little bit, because the significance and the importance is paramount for how we are and how we shop in this world. And it's not anything new that I'm revealing to you, but simply reminding you of this truth that is unchanging and unchangeable. In our first text, Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were really upset and disturbed that he should call himself the Son of God. And so he reminds them that it is written in the law that he, God, called them gods. If God is telling that his creation are two of gods, why then are they so upset that he should be affirming that he is the Son of God? Now we know that everything that Jesus was demonstrating to us by example was to remind us that we are joint heirs with him, so that we too are children of God. And just as he was the Son of God, we too are sons and daughters of God. We too are gods in expression. We never think of that we are God expressing in this physical form, because we're so caught up in our humanness that we forget our divineness. We are so caught up with the day-to-day runnings and doings and beings that we forget our true nature, our divine nature, our God nature. And Jesus was speaking very plainly to them that it was already written, that God had already pronounced to those that were creating and writing the word that they were gods. My second sacred text that I want to re-emphasize on, one that I have shared many times, and I will share many times in the future, I'm sure, is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that in the very first book of Genesis, whether we want to take it as actual or we want to take it as an analogy or a myth, that everything that came into creation was God speaking the word. The energy, the life force, the presence, the creative power is in the word, because God was the word. And if we are gods, then we too are the word. And that if we understand that we are the Word and that we speak into whatever it is that we are voicing into our life, into our experience, we are creating just as God created in the beginning when God said, let there be, and it was so. Whether we are voicing, I am broke, I am sick, I am depressed, we are speaking into the world of form the very things that we don't want to experience, because we too have that creative power that God has, because we too are God and we too are the word that was at the beginning, the word that was creative, the word that is still creating. People tend to think of God and the presence and the power of God and what God did was something in the past. But God is a very present God. And what God was doing then, God is still doing now. And doing more so as we expand and evolve our consciousness to the understanding, to the recognition, to the acceptance, to the belief, to the trust. God's word cannot be broken, because in the beginning was the Word, The Word was God, and the Word was with God. You, my beloved, are God. You too are the Word made manifest and expressing. In previous Sunday Souls, I have spoken a lot about affirmations and denials to help you connect and realize with how you are using your words to create and express and experience the life you are having. To use your denial to refute, to refuse, to dissipate that experience that you are in or think you might be in. And then to use your affirmations to affirm, to use your words, that power that you have, in a constructive, productive, and positive way. You have that creative power because you are God. When I do our prayer of thanksgiving, I rewrote it so that it affirmed the very fact that you were both God in expression, the God that was immanent and the God that was transcendent. Everything that Jesus did was to set and show the example of what we could do. And he told us that we would do even greater than he did. But let's get real. None of us have that level of consciousness that he had, that was totally unified with his awareness, with his acceptance, with his trust, with his belief that he was of God, that he was God, and that it was God in him that doeth the work. Whether it's for our healing, whether it's for our prosperity and abundance, whether it's for our job, for our relationships, there is no limit. When we recognize that it is God that we are aligned with, that we are expressing, that we are the Word of God made manifest, and that we use that same creative power to manifest through our words whatever it is we want in our life. I've said it before and I'll keep saying it again, this life was not meant to be torturous. You are here to express the fullness, the magnificence, the allness that God is. You are that place where God's life, God's power, God's presence shines through. And yes, we will have challenges. And yes, we may have doubts. And yes, we have to conquer and overcome our fears. And as I've said many times, the spiritual path is not for the faint-hearted, because you have to continuously, repeatedly, unceasingly effort at not allowing the small egoic mind, the human side of ourselves, to take dominance, to want to exert its fears, its worries, its concerns, so that it diminishes who you are as a child of God. That it helps you to forget that in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And we know that this fifth proclamation of the 12 things that God cannot do is God's Word cannot be broken. I've shared in the past that God can only say yes. Whatever it is you are affirming for yourself, God is saying yes. So make sure that whatever you are speaking, whatever you are believing, whatever you are affirming is what you want to experience for your life. My story that I want to share with you, and I'll explain a little further when I can finish reading it. It says, a friend and I were deeply engaged in conversation when she attempted to knock on wood. The only trouble was we stood in front of our 100-year-old church, which was built out of hand-hewn stone. It's funny how this ancient superstition of touching wood is still so ingrained, even in followers of Jesus. For the most part, she doesn't practice other superstitious rituals, no throwing salt over her shoulder or dabbing olive oil behind her ears. Yet she readily touches wood to ward off the loss of something positive and good in her life. This contrast between her professed faith in Jesus and her superstitious outward action has weighed on my heart and mind. In those instances when she fears losing a blessing, shouldn't her automatic response be to touch Jesus rather than touch wood? Touch Jesus is what I want my go-to response to be in all circumstances. I want the same kind of deliberate, focused intent as the woman in the Bible who pressed through the crowds of people to touch his cloak, knowing that one touch would ensure her healing. And not just to touch Jesus as a superstitious ritual when I think I might lose a blessing, but to stay in touch with him in all times. This was Cassandra Tearsome. I wanted to share this story because so often, so many of us are still attached to some of the superstitious things that we do, and we do it on automatic. I can't tell you how many times I've been with people who, when they have spoken the word for what they want, they then are looking to knock on wood. And I've even seen them knock the side of their heads because they think that's the only wood that is available to them. I wonder, rather than knocking on wood or any other of the superstitious things that people do, or they want to wish for luck, and if you know me well enough, you know that luck is not a word that exists in my vocabulary. Why are you not? And I use the consciousness, and I use the word deliberately. Why are you not attaching whatever you are speaking to the Christ mind? That awareness of the Spirit of God in you as you. The awareness that you are one with God, an expression of God, and all that God is. Why are you not able to recognize that you are speaking the word of God into life? Yes, the author was curious as to how was she outside of the church. And rather than just affirming her blessings, conscious that she is one with the Creator of all that is, instead she's looking to knock on wood. You see, God's word cannot be broken. And when you understand, accept, believe, and align with this truth that you are one with God, as you are an expression of God, then the words that you are speaking cannot be broken either. So be cognizant, be conscious, be aware of what words you are bringing forth out of your mouth into the world of form. Is it what you want as your experience? And if it isn't, then use your denials and affirmations to make sure that what you are speaking, which is merely your thoughts that you are giving vocal to, is what you want in your life. My poem this morning is by M.S. Lound, entitled Hidden in My Heart. I long, O God, to have your word hidden within my heart, so it will be a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Then I may know where I should walk, where your Spirit is leading me, to know more clearly the right direction through the future I cannot see. I pray that I'll forever hunger for your word, O Lord, to draw deep from your living water and be satisfied once more. For I long to be continually washed with the water of your word, to have it deep within my soul so it may quench my thirst. Teach me the truth in your word. Reveal to me what it means. Open my eyes to all mysteries and the truth still yet unseen. I want to walk uprightly, Lord, to never go astray. Your word, O Lord, is the guide I need to keep me in your ways. I thank you, Lord, for your word, the bread that feeds my soul, and I continually feed on it from now until I grow old. So teach me, Lord, while I am young, so it will not depart, but will keep your word alive within, hidden in my heart. My Science of Mind reading is entitled God's Thought Made Manifest. The author is Ernest Holmes himself, and so there's only one quote by Lao Tzu who says, "He who loves the world as his body may be entrusted with an empire." Ernest writes, "This one manifests itself in and through all creation, but is not absorbed by its creation. Our textbook defines creation as the giving of form to the substance of mind. The whole action of spirit must be within itself, upon itself. Creation is the play of life upon itself, the action of a limitless imagination upon an infinite law. What God thinks, he energizes. The universe is God's thought made manifest. The ideas of God take innumerable forms. The manifest universe springs from the mind of God. The Bible says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The worlds were framed by the word of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. The Hermetic philosophy states within reason, not with hands did the world maker make the universal world. From a Hindu scripture, from the unmanifest brings the manifest. Mind, being impelled by a desire to create, performs the work of creation by giving form to itself. Everything that exists is a manifestation of the divine mind. But the divine mind, being inexhaustible and limitless, is never caught in any form. It is merely expressed by that form. The manifest universe then is the body of God. God's self-knowingness energizes that which is known, and that which God knows takes form. The form itself has the divine pattern within it. We are that divine pattern. We are that expression of the divine life, the same divine life that spoke and it was done. The word of God cannot be broken. And we as expressions of God, as the word of God, we too need to understand that as we speak our words, our words too cannot be broken. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within. Always I invite you to bring your attention to your breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. I like to remind you of the words of Job. Job, who went through many trials, but but never lost his trust, belief, and faith in God. He said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So let us be both conscious and cognizant as we take the next 3 deep breaths in, that we are breathing in the breath of life itself. Inhale over the diaphragm and breathe in the life-giving, energizing, renewing breath of God. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. For the 3rd and final time, inhale. So I'd like you to affirm to yourself the following. Today, I take constructive action. It is only as I let go of the lesser that I can take hold of the greater. Only as I drop confusion, that I can entertain peace. Only as I transcend doubt and fear, that I can be lifted up to the hilltops of the inner life. I identify myself with the greatness of spirit and breathe in its almighty power. I allow my consciousness to rise to a broader and fuller realization of that divine presence that is always delivering itself to me. Believing that the divine mind is ever present, that divine intelligence is ever available, I open my consciousness to its guidance. I keep my mind steadfast and loyal to the thought that I am governed by this divine intelligence. I feel that I am impelled to make right decisions, that I am compelled to act upon these decisions intelligently, knowing that the power that is within me cannot desert me. Through the quiet contemplation of the omni-action of spirit, I look quietly and calmly upon every false condition, seeing through it to the other side of the invisible reality that molds, conditions, and recreates all of my affairs after a divine pattern. With a penetrating spiritual vision, I now dissipate the obstruction, remove the obstacle, dissolve the wrong condition, every thought of fear or limitation is removed from my consciousness. Today, I take constructive action, which leads me to health, happiness, and success. Take a deep breath in as you allow that beautiful affirmation to resonate within you, to allow the power of that word to express in and through you, as you. It's the word of God that cannot be broken. And now as we enter into our circle of prayer, you're invited as always to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is the life force, the presence, the power that is everywhere present, at every point in space and time. The psalmist said that there is nowhere where God is not, and if he dwelt in the depths of the sea, God was there, and even if he was at the top of the mountain, God was there also. So right where you are, the presence, the power, the allness of God is. Mother, Father, God, as we consciously come into communion in prayer with you this morning, we ask that our hearts and minds be touched so that they remain open to the truth that we are of you, that we are God, and that word, our words, are of you and will be brought forth into our experience, because the word of God cannot be broken. So let our words be words of health and wholeness, of healing, of renewal, of restoration, of peace, of joy, of harmony, of love, of abundance, of faith, of trust. Let us affirm that which we want and speak only that which we wish to have in our experience. Let us not claim anything that is not of you for ourselves, such as sickness or depression or illness or whatever it is. Let us remember that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, so that our words may only be health-giving and whole and loving. Mother, Father, God, as I speak this word for everyone on this call this morning, for everyone that will listen later, and for those that may not even know of its existence, I'm speaking this word now. This word for health, this world, this word for peace, this word for our world, that it may know oneness, that it may know love, that it may know our interconnectedness. I'm speaking this word, that whatever name that we choose to call you, Allah, Yahweh, Jehovah, Buddha, Nature, Christ, Mind, Krishna, Brahma, irrespective of the words, the names, the labels, that we may express the love that you are, that we may see our brother and sisterhood in one another, that we may work towards a world that is fair and just for all of creation, and all sentient beings. O Mother, Father, God, at this moment, I no longer have any words to share or offer, other than just to take a moment of silence and allow ourselves to be filled full of your word. For your infinite peace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever, ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers and affirm aloud. I'm enthusiastic about life and living. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm. I am loving, loved and lovable. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm. I speak only words that are life-giving and energizing. Drop your hands, palms facing outwards and affirm. I give thanks for my abundant good. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists and affirm. I release all limiting and erroneous thoughts. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones for our affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Repeat after me. I affirm the perfection.
I affirm the perfection
of the divine pattern.
Of the divine pattern
at the center of my being.
At the center of my being.
Our Buddhist reflections. If anyone has hurt or harmed me,
if anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word or deed,
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them, and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word or deed,
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they and their companions be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Our prayer of intention, I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly.
Radiating brightly.
I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally.
Expressing unconditionally.
I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within
and without.
Manifesting exuberantly.
Manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Our rumination for this week, Rumi says, you may learn a bit by reading, but you will understand with love. So, my beloved, as we come to the end, our closing benediction, as I continue with the various interpretations of the Lord's Prayer, and this is a variation of the Aramaic translation. O silent sound, whose shimmering music pulsates at the heart of each and all, clear a space in us where thy melody may be perceived in its purity. Let the rhythm of thy counsel reverberate through our lives so that we move to the beat of justice, love, and peace. Then our whole being at one with thy song. Grant that the earth may be filled with the beauty of thy voice. Endow us with the wisdom to produce and share what each being needs to grow and flourish. And give us courage to embrace our shadow and emptiness as we embrace others in their darkness. But let us not be captive to uncertainty, nor cling to fruitless pursuits. For from thee springs forth the rhythm, the melody, and the harmony, which restores all to balance again and again. Amen. So my closing song for you this week is by Israel Houghton and the Walls Group, entitled True. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can give me from your love, can give me from your promise, nothing at all, oh, there is nothing at all. What can take me from your hand? Because you're true.